Good afternoon, folks. Welcome to Two-Way Talk here on Public Radio, WEAA 88.9 FM, absolutely the voice of the community. I'm Anthony McCarthy.
And I'm Kara Williams.
And we are excited. It is Wednesday, the middle of the week.
Hump day.
And we have a great show in line for you today. If you've been watching the news, you know there has been another mass shooting in Texas. In one of the largest schools in the state of Texas. Three people have been hurt. Two are in surgery. It has turned into an absolute mess. The suspect, mm-hmm. The last time I checked, it may have changed, has not been taken into custody and is at large.
Yeah.
And he's a black male. And so we wanted to talk about the safety of schools. We wanted to talk about parents. A lot of parents immediately were sending us emails and texts about this is why we're afraid to send our children
That's
to school.
Right. And why we need armed police in school.
Of course, we turn to Sergeant Clyde Boatwright, the president of the Maryland State Fraternal Order of Police. He's also the local president for the Baltimore City School Police Union. He's going to talk to us about violence in the schools. Sergeant Boatwright, once again, welcome to Two-Way Talk.
Good afternoon, Anthony. Good afternoon, Kara. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for being with us. And we have a clip we're going to start with. I wanted you to hear this clip.
So now I just want to kind of brief you and give you the facts as we know it. So about 9:15 this morning, we got a call that there was a shooting on the second floor of Timberview High School. Several other phone calls came in at the same time. I can tell you that there were four victims. One was minor injuries who refused treatment. Three individuals were taken to the hospital. Currently, we have multiple agencies doing a methodical search at the school. We're trying to make sure that all our children are safe as they are in lockdown. And we're going to try to do an orderly fashion to bring them out of the school to ensure that they are brought to their parents. Okay? Once the search is completed, we'll make sure that all the students are transported on a bus.
Welcome back to Two-Way Talk. That is law enforcement briefing the media on a shooting at a high school in Texas. Sergeant Boatwright, once again, I looked up. I just did a very quick Google search. 420 mass shootings in the United States since the beginning of the year. This has become so commonplace. When I first saw it on the news, I just waited for the specifics, the details, because I wasn't shocked. I wasn't shocked about the shootings, wasn't shocked that someone took a gun in the school. And he did thank, he said, one of the things that we want, he said, I want to thank the school resource officers, school police, because they were here on the scene. Yeah. And so I assumed they had weapons on the scene. Give me your thoughts on the shooting and what happened today.
You know, so there's no way to prevent a mass shooting, but there's ways to try to deter it.
Of course.
Such as what we do in Baltimore City, you know, with the metal detectors and the cameras and having police officers visible and things like that. However, when you do have an incident, the quick response is the key to have it, to limiting the amount of victims that mm-hmm. you have. In this case, you had four victims, and you had a quick police response within seconds. Police officers were there, which what we've seen in the past is either the suspect either runs away, or he kills himself. Mm. In this case, the suspect decided to run away. They did not get into a exchange of gunfire with the trained personnel that uh-huh. was there, but it was just because of that quick response that probably limited and saved many lives by having a police officer in the building.
Now, the school went on lockdown. Mm-hmm. People locked themselves down in classrooms, and the police and law enforcement went room by room, making sure that no one else was shot or hurt, making sure that everybody was safe, room by room. Then they escorted the students out group by group, put them on buses to take them to a separate location where their parents were waiting. Their response was very organized and very, very specific.
Yeah, so you have to train for the worst-case scenario. And, you know, I'll give you an example. My dad always talks about when he was in elementary and middle school back in the 70s,
mm-hmm.
And how they would do the air raid drill.
That's right, under the
where
desk.
Kids would get under the desk. Well, in our current times, our students, our young people do a bad guy drill. Or, you know, some sort of lockdown drill where they, you know, lock down the classroom, get away from the doors. And in some cases, if you have a classroom with an exterior door to get out of the building,
mm-hmm.
Then you just try to get as far away from the building as possible. So these are the times that we're in, and it's unfortunately we're back to what we had pre-pandemic and these incidents happening in our schools.
And the suspect was arrested, the 18-year-old suspect was arrested. And without incident.
Oh, good.
And they charged him with multiple counts of aggravated assault with a gun.
Okay.
But this just would be one of those instances where I would say that it would be best if we had armed school police.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you don't know if he could have been by himself or, you know, I don't understand the violence of it either. An 18-year-old, was this a high school?
Mm-hmm.
This is a high school, so he's 18 years old.
And evidently had a confrontation with another
student. Yes.
And he started firing. And that's where he hit two students and a teacher.
Teacher, yes, yeah. So mm-hmm. The violence in these schools is just becoming, and that's before, after the 25-year-old stormed into the school and shot somebody at a Houston high school.
410-319-8888. I know a lot of parents probably want to chime in. Another shooting in Texas, another shooting here in the United States. We are getting close to 500 mass shootings in this country. That's just mass shootings.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not even at schools, all at schools. These are mass shootings all over the place. We want to know what you think. 410-319-8888. Clyde Boatwright is with us. He is our expert on violence in schools. He is president of the Maryland State Fraternal Order of Police, and he's also the local president for the Baltimore City School Police Union. He is with us today, 410-319-8888. I'm not surprised. The phones are lighting up.
So I always thought, and Boatwright, you can answer this question. Do you think it would be best if they had metal detectors in the school?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Lot of schools have metal detectors. A lot of schools here in Baltimore, correct?
Yeah, so all of our high schools in Baltimore have metal detectors. But, you know, you can't get in a Raven Stadium and see Lamar Jackson play without going through a metal detector.
How about
you
that? Yes.
you can't go into a courtroom and get married or divorced without going through a metal detector. So, I think that, you know, we should, you know, have the safety of our young people should be paramount.
And I understand people, because there are going to be people who are going to call in and say, I don't want my child going to school having to go through metal detectors. You shouldn't have to do that. But this is a very different time. And our children's safety, as Clyde Boatwright just said, is paramount. And we've got to figure out a way if a child is, and I say a child, and I mean even high school students are children to me, are taking guns into schools. They're settling confrontations with weapons. They're not fighting. Well, they are fighting. We have to deal with that as well. But they are pulling guns on one another.
But that argument is going to change. You know, the argument that these people have about not wanting their children in school with armed police, not wanting their children in school with metal detectors, that argument changes when something happens to one of their family members.
One of theirs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. 410-319-8888. Clyde, we have a bunch of callers on the line. We're going to take them, and I want you to chime in and respond. Tammy's a new caller. Tammy, welcome to Two Way Talk. Welcome, welcome to the conversation.
Thank you, thank you. I think that what we're speaking about right now is not a one-fix solution. I think some of the in Texas, you know, guns are very accessible, mm-hmm. and ammo sure. is cheap, too. Mm-hmm. Ammo has to be higher if we're going to fight the gun war, number one, mm-hmm. in any fashion. And then, you know, a lot of times when we see conflict going on between children, my mother works in Baltimore City Schools.
Uh-huh.
She does not work with high school students. And she, two students were fighting. She was told and directed by the principal not to get in
not
it,
to get involved,
not to
yeah.
cause a liability to herself
mm-hmm.
by breaking the children up from fighting. So when they see this infighting, there is no solutions to redirect these children or to teach them how to resolve conflict mm-hmm. or anger.
Yeah.
But they have in schools where they have special needs children. I don't know if that's the political correct thing. They teach their teachers and their people that deal with these. They teach them holds mm-hmm. for these children in case they get violent. But yet a normal, and don't take that the wrong way, but you know what I mean.
I understand.
A regular student, you don't want them to step in and break it up or teach them how to hold them so they can't be, you know, get to each other. That doesn't
And I agree with you, but have you seen some of these students
fighting? Yeah, yeah.
I could not imagine a teacher trying to hold some of these big girls
That's
and big
true.
Boys
That's true.
Who are fighting for their lives.
That's true.
And it's a very different world. Clyde, give us some insight. I think Kara just made such a good point. What are teachers instructed when it comes to fighting in schools?
Yeah, well, teachers are not to break up fights. Well, you know, we do have a number of support staff that are in the building. You know, each school should have support staff that, mm-hmm. that can handle that. But you don't want, you know, a teacher to be injured trying to break up a fight. And you've said it. If you're looking at the high school, some of these, you know, kids are, you know, 17, 18-year-old, you know, almost grown
big.
Men as
yes,
far
they're
as,
big.
You know, football players, you know, and basketball players.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, 6'3", 200-pound kids. And, you know, when one of those young people is having a disconnect with another young person and you try to intervene, people can get hurt. So you want trained personnel to do that.
Yeah.
And Kara brings up a great point. In some of the special needs locations, people are trained in five-point restraints and other techniques. However, the minute someone gets injured, either the young person
or the
staff mm-hmm. member, then there's going to be a lot of scrutiny when you use one of those restrictive holds.
410-319-8888. That's the number. We want you to call in. And listen, earlier today, if you haven't seen it on the news, there was yet another mass shooting at a high school. And it was... It brought back so many memories of Columbine, watching those students coming out of the school with their hands up, going to buses to be taken to their parents. They had to account for every student, every staff member. Three people, a teacher and two students, were shot. And I don't know why the police were like, two of them are in surgery right now. So I don't know how badly they were hurt other than to tell you they're in surgery. So this is, and the young lady who called in just now said guns are accessible in Texas. Well, guess what? Guns are accessible here.
Yeah.
We have
illegally,
we have a flood of guns in the state of Maryland. And if you are a father or mother and you have a gun in your house, your child knows where that gun is.
Yeah.
And your child just may try to settle a dispute they have with that gun. Taking that gun to school, putting all of your neighbors and the staff, and I know I sound dramatic, but can you imagine the parents of those two students who were shot today?
Yeah.
And maybe I know that bullying takes place, and sometimes kids think the only way they can resolve it is to take out that bully. But I'm here to tell you, guns are not the answer. guns just are not the answer. Go ahead, Clyde.
I'll give you another example here. What we see in Baltimore is we have kids traveling from certain parts of the city, and they have to go through multiple zip codes, whether via, you know, public transportation. And so a lot of kids will carry pocket knives. Oh. And the two incidents that the last two children killed, or students killed in the Baltimore City Public Schools, were killed by pocket knives.
Oh, wow.
So the good thing about it is that the metal detectors also pick up the pocket knives. But if you are a school-based officer, you know, you spend, after the intake of the day, you spend the bulk of your day walking around the exterior of your grounds just to try to
find
knives that were stashed in the bushes or under a car and things like that. Just in the close proximity of your campus.
And even in the courthouse, if women would come in with big braids and they were up on their head, they had to take them down and shake them out because they hide things in their hair. Yeah.
410-319-8888. Let's go to Carolyn. Carolyn's calling from right in Maryland. Carolyn, welcome to Two Way Talk.
Oh, thank you so much. You know I love your show, Brother Anthony.
Oh, thank you.
I'm a former Baltimore City public school teacher, administrator, consultant, and a parent of five children with the Reverend Dr. Floyd R. Blair in Baltimore City Public Schools. And in 2009, I was an administrator at Dix Johnson Middle School, which was a school with metal detectors.
Mm-hmm.
And the kids had to go through the process of walking through, and they would say to me, "Miss Blair, why do we have to do this?" And I would say to them, it really wasn't about them, because the truth was the violence was not in the school per se, but they had to get to school.
Mm-hmm.
And I called the police and asked for assistance, but my children were beat up on the way to school or on the way home.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when we're talking about metal detectors particularly, we also have to talk about how our children feel being treated like criminals, how we, I felt like I was in a prison because I'm also experiencing what they're experiencing as an educator and as a parent.
Mm-hmm.
I would not want any children to feel like that. We have to do something different, and it has to be something better. And what it means is that everybody in the school system has to believe that those children belong to them.
Yes.
What would you do if it was your child? That's why I kept my children in Baltimore City Public Schools, so that I could have a pulse on what was going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Carolyn. I appreciate it. Mm. That's crazy.
And that's very, very real feelings that you felt like you were in a prison. But like you just said, it's just changing times. Nobody wants to feel like that. We didn't feel like that in our school.
No, I certainly didn't.
We didn't feel like that in our school. And it's really sad that the teachers and the kids and the parents are feeling like when they send their child to school, they don't want to know what's going to happen, if their child is going to come home. And why does it feel like it is such a prison? That's unfortunate.
Clyde, let's talk real quick about the aftermath of one of these shootings. What are the teachers thinking? What are the students thinking? What are the administrators thinking when the school environment has been violated by a knife incident or a gun incident?
Well, you know, everyone is experiencing violence. I recall going back to February 8th of 2018 when we had the incident, 2019, I believe. It was at Douglas High School. When the staff members returned that Monday, our school police officers, we cooked, you know, our officers cooked breakfast and welcomed them back so they can try to feel safe coming back into that environment. But, I mean, we spent all day long just listening to those adults that, you know, we're experiencing trauma, you know, knowing another staff member was shot.
Uh-huh.
You know, knowing how young people needed a place to speak. And I just recall the great leadership of Dr. Santelisa's coming to the location. She spoke with staff members. She spoke with students. And then a determination was made that they were not ready and schools needed to be closed. And that was great leadership on her part by, you know, just hearing people out, giving them the floor, allowing them to speak. But there's trauma for everyone involved. And that's when the mental health professionals are needed most.
And you know what? I grew up in the Shenandoah Valley of Virginia. I went to an elementary school. There were only two blacks in the elementary school of about 600 students. My brother and I were the only blacks there. So you know the environment I grew up in, people patting my hair, and I'm trying to figure out what's going on. But in our middle school and our high school, never once in all the years that I was there did we have a gun incident or a shooting. There were fights, but there were fights between two people. And I will tell you, I used to watch teachers reach down and pick them up, separate them, and they did not swing on those teachers.
Right, that's right.
Whereas young people today, they will not think a second about swinging on a teacher.
Or a police officer.
That's right. Or more than one student jumping on a teacher if you try to break up a fight.
It's insane. Folks, we want to hear from you. We have some callers on the line. We only have a couple of minutes left. Let's go to Joanne, a new caller calling from Baltimore. Joanne, welcome to Two Way Talk.
Thank you so much, Anthony, and your co-host, as well as the officer on board with you today. It is a horrible thing to look at the numbers of things for which we are making our public school systems accountable.
Very true.
However, the aspect of social responsibility, personal self-discipline, personal management, and conflict resolution are as important to be taught in with our children in our schools these days as are the arithmetic, reading, and writing programs. We talk about teaching the arts. I think it is an absolute essential thing that we continue to teach arts in public schools. But we also need to teach personal self-management, self-respect, respect for the community, respect for life. There is a course missing in our curriculum in the Baltimore City Public Schools and largely across the nation. Thank you so much for the moment with you.
Thank you so much, Joanne. I really appreciate your passion and your honesty.
And, you know, back in when I was in school, too, we had, I don't know, Bo Wright, you can tell me if they still do this in the schools. We used to have assemblies where guests would come in and talk to you about different things like sexual assault, rape, violence, drugs. Do they still do that?
Yes, in some cases, yes, you do.
Okay.
You have, you know, people with that experience to give you their viewpoint on how this could impact the phases of life with our young people.
Mm-hmm. Sergeant Clyde Boatwright, president of the Maryland State Fraternal Order of Police. He's president of the local Baltimore City School Police Union. Join us. I know you're on vacation. I really appreciate you taking time to be with us today, Sergeant Boatwright. Appreciate you very much. I want to let all of our callers who are holding on, unfortunately, we're going to a quick break, and we will not be able to continue this conversation, but we will, unfortunately, have this conversation
That's true.
Again. You're listening to Two-Way Talk. We'll be right back.